السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. All praises are Allah's Lord of the worlds, and may His peace and blessings be upon our Master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and His pure Immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The theme was Raj'at, returning, which is an article of faith. It's a subdivision of one of the three main fundamental principles of religion, Usul al-Din, which is Ma'ad. And there are many perspectives attributed to it. The principle itself has always been accepted, but in the particularities there are some debates. So far we've discussed two times. One is that after the coming of the 12th Imam, many righteous people, including the Imams and Prophets, and many evil people will return, a physical returning, and we spoke in some depth. That's another perspective, was the social or socio-political Raj'at, which was of the opinion that after the 12th Imam, there will be 12 Mahdis who aren't Imams, but they will be leaders. And this, they will have world supremacy in their hand, i.e. the rule, the law of Ahlul Bayt will govern. The rule of Ahlul Bayt will return, so to speak. And that was a second form, and we talked about that last night. Today and tomorrow, inshallah, we'll speak about the third. And we'll only speak of four perspectives, inshallah, to the very end. Two remain. This is another very important position, and it's a position that the Urafa usually have. Those who have and believe in this concept of Raj'at include Imam Khomeini, Imam Khomeini's mentor in Irfan, Muhammad Ali Shah Abadi, Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Amuli, and Sayyid Jalal Ashtiani, who was also one of the strongest of the philosophers and urafa in contemporary times, and others, but these are the main people. This is the Mithali Raj'at. Here, Mithali means similar. Mithali is something which isn't physical, an existent which is not physical. There's nothing material about it, but it does have material or physical properties, such as color, shape, size, and so on and so forth. But there's no physical matter involved. Now, what I'm going to do is, in order to understand the Mithali Raj'at, there's one story of the Qur'an we have to understand properly. If we understand this story of the Qur'an and what's happening in this story and how things are developing in this story, we'll understand the Mithali return of the Imams, the Mithali return of the Prophets. So before I start, I want to go through this story again. Now, during the month of Ramadan, I did go through this story. But maybe many of you weren't there, and I'm not sure if it was even downloaded or uploaded, but this, I have to go through this story to some extent. I won't go too deeply into it. It's the story of Lady Maryam, alayha salam, and Archangel Gabriel appearing before her. فتمثل لها بشرا سويا. Now this understanding of this verse, which I want to offer to you, is an understanding that both Ayatollah Hasanzada Amuli and Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli have. They both have this in their works. Others may have it too, but I haven't seen it. But these two have it. But the point, the reason I'm mentioning this story and explaining it in the terms that they've explained it, is because then you will have a good understanding of what the Mithali Raj'at is. Here, فَتَمَثَّلَ, it's all about تَمَثُّلَات, apparitions, visions. Archangel Gabriel appeared before Lady Maryam as Basharan Sawiya, as a well-proportioned, perfect human being. Now, angels have two forms of existences. First of all, angels, according to the Urafa, don't have a physical existence. A physical existence can't apply to angels for philosophical reasons that they explain. But they have two forms of existences, and they're both immaterial. But the degrees of immateriality differ. One form of existence of the angels is the purely immaterial form of existence, where there's not even material properties. There's not even number. It's not even divisible. That's in the realm of the intellect, as they call that realm of existence. This existence is one existence, but it does have many dimensions to it. One is the physical dimension. One is a semi-immaterial dimension that we call barzakh, and we have some idea of what it is in our dreams. There's no physical matter in our dreams, but there is size, shape, color. And then there's a realm of existence which is purely immaterial. There's not even size, shape, or color, let alone physical matter. Angels are Allah's or divine forces at play. One form of their existence is purely immaterial. Now that purely immaterial force, depending on what its function is, it's labeled a different name. If it grants knowledge, be it to a prophet, university student, depending any form of granting of knowledge, it's called Jibra'il. If that immaterial force is granting sustenance, it's called Mika'il. Angels aren't separate to Allah, and they're not separate to one another. In purely immaterial entities, they're indivisible. Number has no role in that realm. But in that realm, they do manifest in the semi-immaterial realm. So their main existence is indivisible, purely immaterial. But that source manifests into a lower realm of existence, which has color, size, shape, division. And that's a semi-immaterial division, realm. Here, Archangel Gabriel appeared before Lady Maryam, alayhi salam. The question is, how did Archangel Gabriel appear? He can't appear as a physical existent, according to the Urafa. they can manifest, though, in immaterial realms of existence, which includes one's soul. Now, you just have to bear with me a bit here. Here, Lady Mariam saw Archangel Gabriel exactly how she would see in her dreams. When we dream, when we sleep, as a result of the detachment from the worldly life, because we're asleep now, the spirit ascends. It ascends to higher and more immaterial realms. When the spirit ascends during our sleep, be you Muslim or non-Muslim, you ascend to immaterial realms and you receive knowledge, divine data, everyone. And then depending on the purity of your soul, you convert that data into pictures. They are barzakhi pictures. They are mithali pictures. Okay, we're getting close to it, if you just bear with me. That which we convert, the soul converts, after ascending to immaterial realms of existences, it converts that abstract divine data into mithali, semi-immaterial pictures, images. We call those dreams, usually. They're mithali pictures, in essence. Now, these mithali pictures, or if you like, dreams, take two forms. Either they're a construct of your brain and imagination, and that's not very accurate. That's when we see those messed up dreams, which don't have enough meaning. Because our brain, our imagination, our mind, during the day, has wandered off so much, has seen so much, forgive the expression, so much garbage maybe, heard so much garbage, and so on and so forth. And then that one is attached to what one has heard, and during the day one stores all those things, and at night one sleeps, the mind is at play. However, if one manages to detach oneself whilst having a normal living, going to work every day, being married, studying, but detaches from the worldly life, doesn't let the things that one sees, doesn't distance oneself from Allah, here one produces, or rather acquires unity with, mithali images, but not mithali images which are a product of the brain and one's imagination, but pure, untouched, Allah's created mithali images, which your soul has managed to convert. And there, it's a matter of Allah's communication between, you know, Allah and you. Allah is now speaking to you. Allah is relaying information to you in such a manner. These mithali realms are a product or a dimension of a pure soul. If the soul isn't pure, it will falter in that converting process. And therefore what one sees really has no meaning. But with the pure soul, it acquires unity with those ultra truths in the form of mithali images. What happened with Lady Mariam, alayha salam? She was a pure lady, chaste, ma'soom, she ascended and her pure soul converted the divine data of the immaterial realms into mithali images. Here, فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا, those images, semi-immaterial images, barzakhi images, mithali images, was a man. In the same way you see a man in your dreams, she saw, with the same eyes that you see in your dreams, she saw a man. But she wasn't asleep, she was awake. Because she could detach herself from the worldly life without having to sleep. They're strong people. In the same way that you are in unity with your dreams, what Lady Maryam saw, alayhi salam, was in unity with her soul. As Ayatollah Jawadi says, if there was another woman standing beside Lady Maryam, alayhi salam, that other woman wouldn't see that man, wouldn't see Archangel Gabriel, which has manifested as a man in a semi-immaterial realm. But it's the realm of Maryam's soul. Angels can descend onto my and your souls and make themselves appear to me and you, but in the mithali image. That's the point here. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. And then, here in the Arabic, there's a delicate point here, which the scholars have referred to. It is فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا, لَهَا. It has the lam preposition. This lam they call, Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh, calls the lam of unity. Because that which appears before Lady Maryam is in unity with her. Laha. In the same way, when we sleep and have dreams, it's in unity with us. That dream is in unity with us. It's a product of our soul. Anyone else sleeping beside us, they don't see anything. It's we see it. Archangel Gabriel descended upon Lady Maryam in the mithali realm and gave her information. So there must be an ascension on behalf of the individual before there's a descent. You can't have a descent without an ascent. They both work together. And this is how Allah communicates with people. And this is how Allah can communicate with us. Okay. That's the story. I think we'll stop there in relation to the story. So this you have to keep in mind to understand the mithali rajat. I'll just give you a small clue. In the mithali rajat, the imams who are higher than Archangel Gabriel, the imams, the prophets, who are in realms higher than the realms that the angel reside, they appear before the people after the coming of the Mahdi. Although they appear now also, but we don't see them. But then we will see them, especially the evil. Or those who aren't as righteous, rather. Okay, now if you've got something out of that for now, that's good. If you still understood nothing what I've said up to now, I apologize for that. Okay, now let's go through the stages slowly now and until we get to the main point. Just have to drink a bit of water. Sorry, my mouth is drying up very quickly. This one. In chapter 18, verse 110, two dimensions of the Holy Prophet is mentioned, and these two dimensions are applicable to us too. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I am also a human being like you, the Prophet says to everyone. يُوحَى إِلَيَّ, but it's revealed upon me. He has a physical side and he has a spiritual side which receives revelation. I think the verse goes like نَزَلَ رُوحُ الْأَمِينَ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ. The angels descend upon the Prophet's heart. The Prophet doesn't see Archangel Gabriel with his physical eye. The Prophet doesn't hear Archangel Gabriel with his physical ear. It's the realm of the heart when the angels descend upon the Prophet. But he has a physical realm too. He has a physical body like people, me and you. Me and you also, we have a physical part, we have a spiritual aspect. We too can receive revelation. Not legislative revelation, because that came to an end with the Holy Prophet. But there are forms of non-legislative revelations that we too can see. We too have access to angels. Like Lady Fatima, alayha salam, had. And many others. Lady Maryam alayha salam had. It's open to us too. Now the fact that most of us are drowned in the worldly life and we're not paying attention at all to the spiritual side, that's our loss. It's nothing to do with Islam. Islam's giving you the protocols. Islam has even given you protocols when you sleep what to do. There's a reason it wants you to do wudu before you sleep and recite a few verses. It wants to purify the soul if you do the wudu properly with the esoteric meanings. So that even in your sleep, Islam's educational scheme of things will still apply to you. You want to ascend in your sleep and so on and so forth. Anyway, so that's the spiritual side. But the Prophet was also a physical human being with the people. He lived in the flesh with the people with the aim to guide people towards Allah. And their main role was to guide all deficient things to perfection. Now, be they plants, animals, and especially human beings. The existence of the Imam, the existence of the Prophet, is to make all deficient things complete. To make all deficient things perfect. In the domain of human beings, when they were living on earth with humans, their aim was to bring human beings on the path of perfection. And they were with, in the presence of human beings. And if someone lived a far distance away, there may have been representatives of the Prophet or the Imams. So either directly or indirectly, their aim was to bring people to perfection. Now, directly, one-to-one, indirectly, they would send people. But being in this world, being in this physical realm of existence, and only this world is the physical realm of existence, of existence. All other realms of existence are not physical, like in Barzakh and other metaphysical realms. This physical realm of existence, or this natural world, is a realm of contraries. There's a lot of contrary things happening. Because of its limitations in time, space, and then people wanting to live in such a place, realm of contraries, it leads to a lot of burden. There's a piece of land and there are 10 people. In heaven, there is no contraries in heaven. being contrary is non-existent in heaven. Heaven is also a dimension of the soul. It's a product of the soul. It's purely immaterial. And you there have no problem in time or space. There is no limitations there. But here in this world, there's a piece of land, and there are 10 people, they all want to live there. That's what I mean by this contrary nature. It's very difficult to live a burdenless life in this world because of the limitations of time and space. So everyone wants to live in that piece of land, and it causes problems. And there are many examples like this one can think of. But this natural world, by essence, its definition, is the realm of contraries. And it's this contrary nature of it which leads to burden, and it's this contrary nature which leads to our elevation too, eventually. But as a result of this contrary nature of this realm, the Holy Prophet, for example, when he was living in the flesh with the people, experienced a lot of burdens. You know, people, as a result of their limitations in understanding, limitations in their living, and so on and so forth, it led to problems for the Holy Prophet when he was trying to guide them, when he was trying to solve disputes, relieve them of the burdens that were arising. This was very difficult for the Holy Prophet. In the chapter 94 in Shirah, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, didn't we open your breast for you? Wa waza'na anka wizrak, and relieve you of your burden. Alladhi anghadha dhahrak, burdens that were almost on the brink of breaking your back. This is the realm of burdens as a result of the material and limited nature of this realm. And we have traditions that no prophet suffered like our Holy Prophet did. I mean, the fact that he was thrown stones at, that's one degree of burden. But there were much more severe burdens that they would undergo during this process of guiding the people from deficiency to perfection. Now, once the Holy Prophet passes away, and the same applies with the Imams, and they relinquish all these barriers that were present in this realm when they wanted to propagate the truth. Now they've passed away. The question is, does that aim, the philosophy of their existence, that aim that they have, does that become abandoned too? Or are they still guides in nature? Do they still guide people from deficiency to perfection? The Shia school of thought believe that that guiding nature of the Prophet, of the Imam, remains. But now that they've passed away, the thing is, they're not limited with the barriers that were before them when they were in this physical realm. They're much freer now. They can even work much better without experiencing the limitations of this world. And that's where the concept of shafa'a, intercession, comes into play. It's inconceivable to deny shafa'a. Denying Shafa'a is denying the status of righteous people, including the Holy Prophet. It's not a very sound understanding of what the human being is. denying shafa'a is almost regarding the essence of the human being as something material. But that's another debate. I didn't want to enter the debate of shafa'a. But now, the prophets, after death, they can meet the people's needs much easier without encountering difficulties, worldly difficulties or barriers. That was the second introductory point I wanted to say. Next. And we have traditions supporting that also. And not only in relation to the prophets, even in relation to normal people like us. As long as we're righteous on elevating on death, depending on how we were, if we were righteous people on death, our control over the worldly realm of existence still continues as a result of what we acquired in it. That takwini, providential wilaya, is in play, as it was in this realm. But this realm, there were too many physical limitations and barriers. But in the when we enter the other realm, we're much more freer. But the takwini control is still there. And that's why we ask for help sometimes from the imams. The next point is this, that when Allah wants to disclose immaterial realities that have no like in this world, so Allah wants to disclose something, an immaterial reality, to us people, me and you. That thing which Allah wants to disclose to us or manifest to us doesn't have anything similar to it in this world, because it's a physical world, and that reality is something immaterial. You know, they don't blend. When Allah wants to disclose such immaterial realities, He does it in a manner that people can see and hear those realities, all be they not physical. The physical realm is the physical realm. The purely immaterial realm is purely immaterial. But in between was the semi-immaterial realm, which is a bit of both. It's similar, mythali, it's similar to the physical realm in that there is color, size, and shape. And also it's immaterial. There's no matter. Those immaterial realities, Allah manifests to me and you in that middle ground, which is the semi-immaterial realm. And therefore we, in our mythali realm of the soul, we see those immaterial realities that Allah manifests before us. They're not physical though, but we still see them. I'll give some examples, but in a minute, some more practical examples that many of you may have experienced. Well, I'll give you one now. Many of you may have woken up by a sound at the time of Azan in Fajr. Some of you were woken up by someone telling you it's time for Fajr. Some of you may have woken up by hearing a voice of the Azan, but when you woke up there was no alarm clock on. These sounds, some of you with a very dull sound, just a, you know, sound like a the horning of a car, for example, but you wake up with the adhan. These are semi-immaterial realities, because the person who was next to you sleeping, they don't wake up with anything. You wake up. Depending on the purity of your soul, that affects the degree to which you receive those immaterial realities. That's Jibreel speaking with you. But everyone to their own capacity can receive Jibreel. Very few people can see him as a well-proportioned human being and have dialogue. And there are other examples that the traditions speak about them. So here with, but in the story of Maryam, alayhi salam, it was more, you know, it's more clear that here, Jibreel, which is an immaterial reality, manifests in the Mithali realm of the soul of Maryam. Maryam sees, it's in unity with Maryam's soul. It's not physical either, but it's a semi-immaterial Mithali manifestation of a higher immaterial reality. That's how Allah communicates with us. Okay. Now, this Jibreel, alayhi salam, this angel, archangel, who can manifest himself to Maryam, alayhi salam, can manifest himself to a million people at the same time. Now, if a million Gabriels manifest to a million people at the same time, naturally they can't be physical manifestations, because if they were physical manifestations, then they're different to one another. But in immaterial realms, there's no barrier to the immaterial Jibreel manifesting in the semi-immaterial mythali souls of a million people at the same time. It's possible. Now, maybe a story comes to mind. Amir al-Mu'mineen appearing at one time in 40 places. Okay? I don't know if you've heard of the story or not. I've never seen the tradition, but it's a very common story. Now, maybe you thought it was the physical Amir al-Mu'mineen who was in 40 places. I.e., there were 40 physical Amir al-Mu'mineens. Things are about to change, inshallah, if you manage to understand the point I'm trying to raise. I'll come back to the story. It wasn't the story I intended to say right now. So Jibreel can appear before a million people at the same time. And that's what happens in Barzakh. Barzakh is a semi-immaterial realm. When we die, Nakir and Munkar appear. If a million people die at the same time, a million Nakir and Munkars will appear before these million people. Everyone is seeing Nakir and Munkar, but everyone on a par with their capacity. Nakir and Munkar, immaterial angels in the realm of the intellect, they manifest semi-immaterially upon the souls of different people. Depending on the purity of one soul, the manifestation differs. In the same way that the manifestation of Jibreel differs. With Maryam, alayhi salam, it was a well-proportioned human being. With me and you, it may be something else. Israel appears differently to different people. It all depends on the purity of your soul. But the point is this, that an immaterial entity manifests in the semi-immaterial mythology realms of a number of people's souls at the same time. Now, Jibreel, alayhi salam, can visit me and you, and he does visit me and you from moment to moment in this world. From moment to moment, Jibreeli forces are at play. You're not aware of it. But everything you learn, Jibreel is in play, but you don't see him. Angels are Allah's forces at play. Now, in this Mithali Rajat, which this all was an introduction, sorry it took a bit long, but in this Mithali Rajat, the Imams, the Holy Prophet or Prophets in general, who have passed away, where are they? They're in now the metaphysical realms of existences. Yes, okay, their body is intact. We believe that. There's no problem in that. But these people, these divine, righteous people, are in metaphysical realms, immaterial realities now. They can transcend very easily and still have power and control, taqwini control, over their lower realms of existences, including the physical world. Amirul Mu'mineen has complete control. And we have traditions that whoever dies, they'll see Amirul Mu'mineen. If 1 million people die, 1 million people will see Amirul Mu'mineen. Is that the physical Amirul Mu'mineen? Of course not. If it's a physical Amirul Mu'mineen, that means it's 1 million brains, 1 million souls. It's different though. They can't be the same. It's philosophically impossible. But whoever dies sees Amirul Mu'mineen. Amirul Mu'mineen is free. His spirit is high. He can manifest in that Barzakhi realm upon everyone. But that's on death. Right now, when we say Ya Ali in Shafa'at, when we ask Allah for something through His intermediaries, He appears before us, but we don't see Him. Some people do. Many people, it happens. There was a story of a Maharaja's brother's son, and he was very ill, and he saw Amirul Mu'mineen and he gave the message, and it's a long story, but and many other stories like this. Everyone to their own capacity. But the point is that Amirul Mu'mineen communicates with people through their Mithali souls, in the Mithali realm of the soul. He communicates. And this will happen after the coming of the 12th Imam, where people like Amirul Mu'mineen will have a Mithali Rajat, as he has now. Rajat is Shafa'at. When from one realm they return to this realm, attending to the needs of the deficient people, for them to be guided, for them to become more perfect. But at that time, they'll see Amirul Mu'mineen. They have the capacity to see him here also, but there everyone will see Amirul Mu'mineen. And this is the Mithali Rajat. There's no need to bring Amirul Mu'mineen back in the physical form. Come on, he said, Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'aba. He's gained salvation, perfection. For goodness sake, why do you want to bring him back in this world of countries again? What's the reason you want to bring him back? You say, well, I have to get revenge from Ibn Muljim. Come on. He doesn't think like you. He forgave Ibn Muljim. And you want to bring him back in the physical form just to get his revenge? And then you want Ibn Muljim to return too? Well, he's in hell. Immaterial hell. The immaterial hell is much worse than the physical punishment you can give someone in this world. Bringing Ibn Muljim back to this world is like paradise for him. Why? There's no need to insist on this. But Amirul Mu'mineen can come, the Mithali Rajat. So in this way, those Allah works by sending His forces at play, be it Jibreel, be it Amirul Mu'mineen, the Holy Prophet, and so on and so forth, communicating with the people. The ultimate aim of this Mithali Rajat, which occurs after the coming of the Mahdi, but it can occur now too, There's no impediment, but it requires a lot of spirituality. But then, is to fulfill the needs of the deficient, those who aren't righteous too, although they can appear before the righteous too, but it's primarily for to guide the deficient to perfection. And when Allah discloses His secrets, those immaterial realities, to the worldly people, it's always through mythology realities. In the same way that the Mi'raj was all mythology realities disclosed upon the Holy Prophet. Okay. The next point. Although this is just in passing, I know some cultures are very fond of this topic, and that's the concept of jinn. But since in passing, let me just explain this point also, that the angels who have an immaterial reality can manifest themselves upon the mythology realm of me and you. Okay, in the same way they can do that, and in the same way that the righteous, like Amirul Mu'minin, whether when he was alive in this world in the flesh or now he's in the metaphysical realm, can appear before me and you in the mythology realm of our existence, the jinn's manner of communication with me and you is also of this nature. It's in the mythology realm of ours. There's no need to have contact with the jinns. We don't acquire more perfection if we do. However, if we live lives of tawakkul-free lives, where there's no tawakkul, you are opening yourself for that communication to occur. But it's a minority of cases. It's a very small thing. And so sometimes someone sees a jinn, other people say, you know, where? We don't see a thing. Because it's unity with their soul. That was just in passing anyway. There was one story where Ayatollah Bahjat, when he was alive, he appeared before someone to wake him up for Salatul Layl. Ayatollah Bahjat was in his own house. He was sleeping in the flesh. See, the manner of communication, because of his high spirituality, he could manifest in the mythology realms of many people. And with a certain agenda. In this case, it was to wake him up for Salatul Layl. But just think, when Ayatollah Bahjat now passes away, that which he has acquired in this world, he can practice much more freer in the metaphysical realm. He still has control over the physical realm here. And let alone people like Amirul Mu'mineen. Just imagine the ample nature there. Another story, this was because a family member of mine experienced this during the war, Iran-Iraq war. He was abandoned somewhere in a large desert, and he didn't have any boots either. He had to walk kilometers on hot sand before getting somewhere. And then all of a sudden he hears a sound saying, well, why don't you turn behind you? He turned around and there were a pair of boots, and he wore the boots. Now that sound was semi-immaterial, only he heard it, and those boots were semi-immaterial, but it was such that it had an effect over the physical feet, and it helped him a lot. But he was given a commentary of this later by someone. He still thought it was the physical boots until he heard this person give a commentary on it. Anyway, in the Battle of Badr, the armies of Haq and Batil were at war. There were, I think, 313 on the righteous side. The other side, I can't remember now, but they were in their thousands maybe. I can't remember exactly, but there were a lot. But in that battle, appearing before the Mithali realms of the enemy, each and every one, they saw warriors. Now there were only 313 of them. Those warriors were angels, manifesting in the Mithali realms of those people, and they were defeated eventually. There was nothing physical there, but it had an effect. The story of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I think now, will fall into place. I think a similar story has been attributed to Nabi Isa alayhi salam also. At the same time, they were seen in 40 places. If you say those 40 Amir al-Mu'mineen were physical, that's problematic, philosophically. Because if you have an Amir al-Mu'mineen in X place, physical place, an Amir al-Mu'mineen at Y place, an Amir al-Mu'mineen in Z place, they're not the same. They can't be the same. It's impossible. It's two individuals, two souls, two brains, and so on and so forth. But now with this explanation, Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he was alive in the flesh, with the people, can manifest in 40 different places upon the souls, the Mithali realms of 40 individuals. And you know, like in dreams, in the beginning you think it's real until you wake up. They thought it was really Amir al-Mu'mineen. And they said, he was with me that day. And someone said, he was with me. And someone, Salman said, he was with me. 40 different places. Now, I'll end here, and this is an important point. So I just want you to think about, and we'll start the discussion tomorrow, ending here. Okay, this Mithali Raj'at, it seems good. Nice explanation, it's possible, but do we have evidence for it? It's happening too, from moment to moment. I mean, we don't need evidence, but I mean, Quranic evidence here. There is one verse and one tradition which, if you've properly understood what I've said up to now, this will fall into place. Let's go back to the verse, chapter 27, verse 82. وَإِذَا وَغَى الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ, when the word reaches them, أَخْرَجْنَا, we shall bring forth, لَهُمْ, لَهُمْ, فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا, the lam of the preposition, don't forget that. We shall bring forth before them. I haven't seen anywhere. I'm just using principles that others have said. Now the application is just another application. So don't worry, you don't have to accept this, what I'm about to say now. This I haven't heard anyone say it, so there's no need to panic. Akhrajna, we shall bring forth, lahum. If that lam is the lam of unity, it's bringing forth something within us, that is in unity with us, in our Mithali realm. Like fatamathala laha. But for Lady Maryam, it was basharan sawiya. Here, it's akhrajna lahum dabbatan min al-ard. A creature can be an angel or anything. It can be something physical too. It applies to something physical. It qualifies in relation to the physical, but it can qualify in relation to other things, to other realms too. We'll bring forth lahum before you, in unity with you, a creature min al-ard. Ard Imam Khomeini, in many verses of the Quran, always treats as the heart, esoterically. Every verse has an external meaning, and we don't negate that external meaning, but it has many esoteric dimensions. We will bring forth before you a creature min al-ard, from your heart. It's in the mythology realm of you. It's in unity with you. And then the traditions say that dabbata min al-ard is amirul mu'mini. And look how it says it. The Holy Prophet says to amirul mu'mini, Ya Ali, idha kana akhiru zaman. When it's the end of time, akhrajaka Allah, Allah will bring you forth fi ahsani suratin. Look, this is important. In the best image. Look, that's surah. When you see surah, it's a mythology reality. It applies much more to mythology realities than physical realities. So, I'm not saying this can also be applied to Amirul Mu'minin returning in the physical form. And if you remember, Muhammad Asad, this is what he accepted. From all the different variations of Rajat, he accepted this. But I'm saying this can also apply to the mythology Rajat. Okay, I'll stop there, inshallah, and we'll continue with the mythology Rajat, inshallah, tomorrow. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ta'ala. Okay. Yes. Yes, the traditions, yes, say he is the Dabba. Although we spoke about this in the early lectures, yes. Yes. No. Not any creature. Yes. That's okay. Right, yes, what, they say after. Well, that's good for me though. Yeah. Only joking. Yes.
The original plan was to see what we have and then looking afterward because some people have to go because they have school and work tomorrow, so they want to stay here.
So what shall I do?
We'll see
about that. Okay, so
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So tonight inshallah we'll read the words of Musiba in relation to Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam. Imam Khomeini believed that Ali Akbar was supposed to be the fourth Imam, but Bada resulted. There was a change of destiny. Now some of you may say, but wait, the names of the Imams was written long time before, even in the tablet of Fatima alayhi salam, the names of the Imams were there. For some reason, these are one of those secrets of the Ahlul Bayt, Imam Hussein named all of his sons Ali. They were all called Ali.